and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
It is absolutely necessary that we all get together, we work together, we respect each other, we like and love each other.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I'm getting tired of people running from me in the ring. Mike Tyson, Holyfield, you a bunch of bums. Stand up and be a man and fight a real fighter.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million-dollar sports pylon studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Often imitated but never duplicated, 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your host. I'm your modest host. I'm also a four-time Golden Glove champion and an award-winning boxing writer. So supposedly, allegedly, I know a little bit about boxing. But guess what? The average fan probably knows more. So if you'd like to impart, you can. Here's the toll-free. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, there's also the guilt-free no-commitment text line. That number, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. Well, the Olympics, we'll talk about that in depth. Of course, the United States striking no gold. They only had gold in like 92 with Oscar De La Hoya, 96 with Mr. David Reed, of course, in 2004 with Andre Ward. Outside of that, no gold medals. Why? Because you're not investing in the amateur program. We'll talk about that in depth. Of course, the UFC rocking and rolling with a UFC interim heavyweight title fight last night, even though the champion was in good health and he could have fought. But the bottom line is, you know, Dana White, Dana wants to be God. Well, Dana wasn't God last night. He has an interim champion in the meantime. We'll talk about that in depth. But the bottom line is, the UFC pimp machine, it rolls on. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, coming to you on Sports Byline USA. Of course, the SportsByline.com, the Sports Byline USA channel on Twitch.tv, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, Channel 217, and like 1,000 other internet platforms. Often imitated, but never duplicated.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
August 7th, 1982. Wow, can't believe it's been that long. Dwight Braxton. That's what he was born as. That was his given name. Bottom line is, wow, he was a heck of a fighter, but he wasn't the fighter I thought that the man born Matthew Franco was. This was a clash of Muslims, no doubt about that. I'm talking about Matthew Saad Muhammad, the late Matthew Saad Muhammad. But they rumbled for the second time on this day in 1982, of course, Matthew Saad being stopped. He was probably the most unglamorous. He was a monster in the ring. But outside of the ring, he was like a 14-karat guy. He was a stone-cold, nice guy, no doubt about that. Matt Franklin, a.k.a. Matthew Saad Muhammad, okay? I knew him as both. Bottom line is, he was a hell of a guy. He passed away, I think, a few years ago. And, of course, that was from a blood disease, I believe. No doubt. Sickle cell, I believe. When was that? 2014? Somewhere around that, 2014. Bottom line is, may he rest in peace. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it, your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. Let's talk about the Olympics. Of course, the gold medal went to the man from Uzbekistan named Bakalir Javalov. Of course, he beat the American Richard Torres Jr. from the USA. The bronze went to, oh boy, here we go, a guy from Kazakhstan by the name of Kamishibik Kukabakov. Put it to you just like this. Leave it to you just like this. Anyway, evidently, they must have gave away more than one bronze medal because it looks like Fraser Clark won a bronze medal in the heavyweight division as well. I don't know why they do. Why would you give away two bronze medals? Anyway, I guess they did. Bottom line is, in the heavyweight class, which is 201 pounds, that went to Cuba, Julio La Cruz. The silver went to a guy named from Russia, by the name of Muslim Gatchett. Just put it to you like that. Bronze went to David Nika of New Zealand and Abner Teixeira of Brazil. I guess they are giving away two bronze medals. And the bronze, as far as light heavyweights are concerned, that went to Cuba as well. Arlen Lopez, the silver, went to the Great Britain and Benjamin Whitaker. Talk about middleweight, Herbert Souza from Brazil. Brazil got a gold there. Welterweight, Ronnie Iglesias, of course, from Cuba. He was a favorite going in. He won. Pat McCormick was the number two guy from Great Britain. He got the silver. The bronze went to two people, one from Russia, one from Ireland. Aidan Walsh, obviously he was from Ireland, and Andrei Zakhamayev coming from Russia. The lightweight went to, of course, the gold went to Andy Cruz, a Cuban. He beat Keyshawn Davis. And I'm bringing this up because Keyshawn Davis was a professional. He had three professional fights with two knockouts, and they allowed him to fight in the Olympics. What a travesty. I was rooting for anybody in the world to beat this guy. I'm serious. If they pulled somebody out of the crowd to come up and beat Keyshawn Davis, I'm rooting for him. Why? Because it's not fair. It's just not fair. You're trying to tell me he goes out and tests the professional waters, and then he wants to come back and fight amateur? I'm glad his punk ass got beat. I'm sorry to put it like that. That's what I think it is. I think that's a punk move. When you're a professional fighter, and you're going back to fight guys in the amateur ranks, nah. I don't care if a good amateur can beat a good professional over three rounds sometimes. It usually ain't going to happen that way, okay? Bottom line is, that's an atrocity. I just feel it is. Anyway, as we continue on, lightweight went to Andy Cruz of gold. The Russian won the featherweight with Albert, Albert B. Duke Reagan from the USA won the silver, so that was a featherweight. So we're looking pretty good there. As far as women were concerned, I'm looking down here. The USA medaled and a bronze. They shared a bronze with India at welterweight. And as far as that's the rest of the current concern, not really, man. The women aren't happening as far as American boxers are concerned. Japan won a gold in the featherweight division with Sina Ini. That's pretty cool. I think he's eerie. I think that's pretty cool that Japan's rocking and rolling in their own country, at least winning one gold medal. Of course, Japan's big in boxing, and I think they're holding boxing in the Korakuen Hall. Korakuen Hall is this little intimate hall. So it's like, if I remember right, about less than 2,000 people. But it's real like a little movie theater. It's like a little movie theater. But boxing and wrestling, this is where it all goes down as far as like major, major stuff is concerned in Japan. I remember we went to a card over there when we were with the WBC convention, I think in the year 2000. Jose Suleiman invited me over there. Of course, had a good time in Tokyo. Tokyo is one hell of a place. In fact, I'll never forget, you know, I'm an ex-cop, so I'm a little leery of asking people for stuff. You know, because people get... Anyway, bottom line is, I'm in Japan, and I get off the subway, and I'm trying to find this place where I'm going to get a Thai massage. Now, that Thai massage means you get a massage with your clothes on. So we get that straight, okay? So anyway, so I'm looking for this Thai massage place, and I can't find it. So I go to ask this guy, and he says, okay, he's going to show me. No, you don't have to show me. Just tell me. He's going to show me. So I'm freaking out. He's leading me down like this alley and this kind of stuff in Tokyo. I mean, it wasn't a dark alley, but it was an alley. So I'm thinking to myself, I could get rolled here, man. Something could happen nastier. No doubt about that. Okay. So I'm freaking out going along and he brought me, I was telling him, it's okay. Leave me alone. No. He didn't understand English. He just thought I was, you know, anyway, trying to be nice. Anyway, he walked me all the way up to the door of this place and he rang the bell for me. He was so cool. But those are the Japanese people. Without a doubt, I had a blast over there. And the Japanese subways, tops in the world. It's not like riding the Bear Air Rapid Transit here, or what we call the San Francisco subway. That thing makes all kinds of racket. Over there in Japan, it makes no noise whatsoever, and they've never had an accident. Coincidence? I don't think so. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it, your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA, of course. Manny Pacquiao and Errol Spence. You heard Alex Ariza basically dismiss Manny Pacquiao of having just any chances here. I mean, I didn't put him directly on the spot and put a gun to his head and say, who's going to win this fight? But he was sounding as if Manny Pacquiao doesn't have a bit of a shot. And I think he talks about the fact that the conditioning will be the key here. I mean, Manny can go the rounds, but if he can go the rounds and throw a lot of punches and sharp punches, that's the ideal thing. But obviously, he talked about Manny Pacquiao's punch count coming down as far as he's throwing 400 punches in a fight, rather before he used to throw 80 punches a round. Think about that. 80 times 12 is not 400 punches in a fight. But the bottom line is, he's 42 years old. So what can you expect from a guy that's 42 years old? Well, you can expect a Superman effort from the guy. I mean, I really think that Manny Pacquiao is going to go out there and give it his all. I mean, he will lay out there. He'll be laid out on his shield without a doubt. Without a doubt, he will go out there and give it his all and get laid out if need be. Now, does he have a chance of winning? Slim and none. And maybe Slim just left town. And why do I say that? Because size matters in two things.
pornography in combat sports. This is combat sports at its elite level. And Errol Spence, although he's been tossed out of a car at 150 miles per hour, and I would love to have fought him the first time or the second time coming out, doing all kinds of spooky stuff to him, showing pictures of the car accident and the ring. I'd have done all kinds of stuff to mess with him. I really would have. I mean, I'd have pulled out the psychological cookbook as far as trying to get into Errol Spence's head is concerned. Because here's a guy, think about this. He's drunk, he gets into a car accident, and he flips out of a car. The car had an open roof. At 150 miles an hour. Now, he doesn't probably remember that, right? So you want to make him remember that. You know what I'm saying? You don't remember he was drunk as a skunk. I mean, the DUI levels or his blood level as far as alcohol was concerned was way, way, way above the limit. Okay? Way, way, way above the limit. Plus, he had a gun in the car that was worth $10,000. A $10,000 pistol. Why would you have a... Cuddy, you have any reason for a $10,000 pistol? Cuddy doesn't even have a gun. Okay? Why would you even have a gun, but it's gotta be like a $10,000 gold-plated pistol? I kid you not. That was found in his car, of course, with the DUI. That's what we really need, is Errol Spence riding around drunk as a skunk with a gun in his car. At the end of the day, of course, Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, swept all that stuff under the rug. I mean, all of it all went under the rug. Dallas style, baby. Texas style. That's the way it's done. Of course, Manny Pacquiao and Errol Spence gonna hook it up. Now, we'll talk after the break. Will that fight be called as far as COVID is concerned? Are they going to do something drastic in Nevada? Of course, Las Vegas talking about the shutdown and things like that. I should have asked Alex Ariz about that. Of course, he is a resident of Las Vegas or nearby there. Bottom line is, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, my name is Pedro Fernandez. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, the Sunday edition, 11 a.m. Pacific time for 2 hours live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, and of course, Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. This is Ring Talk, often imitated but never duplicated.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
With so much uncertainty, just play it safe. I mean, if you are vaccinated, still you have to be cautious and wear the mask. I mean, there's no hurry. We have lived a great life, and there's so many happy moments ahead in everyone's future. Just let this pass, be intelligent, get your vaccine, wear your mask. Protect your family, protect your loved ones, your friends, and we will together make it out. This is so unfair to have someone go through a process and then the guy next to you ignore it and then be bound to go to a hospital and die. Mm. So many beautiful, dear people who did not have the option to have a vaccine passed away. Okay. So many people have suffered all over the world. We should all work together, and if you have a different belief, then okay, but stay home. Don't go out and don't be part of the continuation of a new wave.
El Presidente. That's right, Mauricio Sulaiman, son of Don Jose Sulaiman, the president of the World Boxing Council. If you check out the WBC and their interactive website at WBCboxing.com. A couple fights over the weekend. Kid Galahad was a winner in IBF 126-pound title fight. When Jazza Dinkins was stopped inside the distance, of course, Jazza, a little bit, not going to put this, sort of like different levels. Galahad seemed to be two steps ahead of him in the entire fight. Luis Collazo and Imintas Stanois was declared a no contest. Any fight involving Luis Collazo at this age should be a no contest to begin with, anyway. And that's just the way it is. I mean, the guy's so old. He fought guys like years and years and years ago. Speaking of guys fighting years ago, get this. Manny Pacquiao, Errol Spence, the undercard is going to be Virgil, Victor Ortiz, and Robert DeGhost Guerrero. Now, Robert DeGhost Guerrero, I mean, I sort of like discovered him when he was an amateur, and you know, he's in Gilroy, California, the garlic capital of the world, which is about 75 miles from San Francisco. So I would go down and watch him fight amateurs. I think he fought in a couple of boys clubs, a couple outdoor events and this and that. But I saw this young, kind of skinny kid, Robert Guerrero, had his father in the corner with a big mustache, big Cheech and Chong type of mustache. Anyway, Robert's gonna come back and he's gonna fight. Are going to try to fight Victor Ortiz. Now, I'm not a big fighter. I mean, both these guys are old. They're both have been past their point. But, you know, Robert made a decent amount of money fighting Floyd Mayweather, as did Mr. Ortiz. Of course, Ortiz got sucker punched by Mayweather, one of the dumbest moves of all time. If you're going to pull something rank on somebody in the ring, you always keep your hands up. You always defend yourself. I remember when we used to spar with Abel Santana here in the city, the late Abel Santana, because the stuff that he did in the ring, he tried to do on the street, and he got laid up, and they ended up killing him. But the bottom line is, like, he would elbow us and butt us and all kinds. I mean, okay, yeah, whoa. But it was good to have this guy as far as experience was concerned. You wanted to have the rounds with him because of the fact he was so rough, and if you can get away with every foul that he threw and kick his ass at the same time, well, then you were doing pretty good. But the bottom line is, now as you look at the entire world of boxing, we see heavyweight champions that aren't fighting. And don't blame the COVID. I mean, I blame Tyson Fury on this one. Tyson Fury and his camp didn't take the COVID thing serious. So like 7 or 8 members of his camp tested positive for COVID. But this was after they got out of the fight with Anthony Joshua to begin with. Of course, it was going to be Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua was going to be in the Middle East and the money was all laid down. You know, those Arabs were going to throw more money at this than they should have, but bottom line is they have an unlimited amount of money, but they were throwing that at this promotion. It was going to be big money over there in, I think, Saudi Arabia or Dubai. Now, that was set in stone. That fight was going to happen in the fall or the early winter. Well, that fight didn't happen because Deontay Wilder went to an arbitrator and said, you know what, I deserve another fight. So they're going to have the Wilder Fury fight, the third one, that's going to go on, and Anthony Joshua is going to take on Oleg Usyk. But at the bottom of this all is the fact that Anthony Joshua has one fight left on his Sky Sports contract. His Sky Sports contract, that's the cable network he has a big deal with in the U.S. and the U.K. Now, Sky Sports is sort of out of the boxing business because everybody sort of left Sky Sports except for ESPN. ESPN went to Sky Sports. But Barry Hearn, the premier boxing promoter in the world, no doubt about that, Matchroom Promotions, he's taking his entire stable to DAZN. And, of course, he wants to take the big fight. I'm talking about Anthony Joshua and, of course, Tyson Fury. He wants to either take that to his own or make it on pay-per-view. Bottom line is he's a greedy guy, but he's a businessman. At the end of the day, I think the boxing fans got deprived of a good fight early on. We get to see Deontay Wilder try once more. I mean, what did Deontay do in the first or second fight that would convince us he has a chance of winning the third fight outside of landing those two shots when he knocked him down in the 9th round, I think, and again in the 12th round. Outside of knocking him down in those 2 times, Tyson Fury, what did he really do? What did he bring to the dance tonight? He has no footwork. In fact, you know, he has worse footwork than Canelo had at 100. I mean, Canelo, when he first started out, talk about lead feet. I mean, lead feet. Now, Deontay Wilder's got lead feet. He spreads his legs too far sometimes. He does everything he can to negate the fact he's 6'7". He does. He fights small. He's a head case. Doesn't work on the heavy bag. Doesn't like doing mitt work. Doesn't like running. I mean, come on. What does he like to do? If he doesn't like doing all these fundamentals as far as the training and boxing is concerned, what does he do? He's got Malik Scott in his corner now. Of course, Malik Scott, the former journeyman. I think that's a good fair title for Malik Scott. I wouldn't call him a contender. Maybe a pretender. But anyway, a pretender. But, Fringe contender, maybe 20, somewhere around there. But Malik Scott, he and Deontay Wilder have a relationship because they fought together. And of course, that was a very controversial first round knockout that took place over in Puerto Rico. Wink, wink. I mean, the Puerto Rico Commission looked the other way because I think that was happening here in the United States. They would have said, what the hell was going on there? Well, bottom line is, I think that, you know, it doesn't matter what Deontay Wilder does as far as his corner is concerned, he's not going to be able to beat Tyson Fury unless he catches him with that lightning in a bottle. And that's going to be, you know, I don't think so. Tyson's 6'9". He's 6'9". Deontay Wilder has never fought anybody bigger than him. You understand? When you're the baddest dude on the planet and you're 6'7", you're beating everybody up that's smaller than you. 6'6", 6'5". These guys are all smaller than you. All of a sudden, for the first time in your life, you fight a guy that's 2 inches bigger than you. He's 6'9". Tyson Fury's closer to 6'9". Okay? Bottom line is, whoa! He couldn't handle it. Talk about Deontay Wilder. He just couldn't deal with it. Couldn't deal with the hand speed. at the end of the day, Wilder is, you know, he was put, brought up by Mark Breland. And I love Mark, 1984 Olympic gold medalist, best amateur in the Olympics that year. I thought as far as, you know, he only lost one fight as an amateur. And I think he avenged that. Bottom line, he was an outstanding amateur, pretty good pro, won a WBA welterweight title. Well, Mark Breland's in his corner and he's a trainer in this and that. And Mark's been accused of everything but raping Deontay Wilder. I mean, he's been accused of, putting Valiums in his water. Valiums or some type of muscle relaxer. Put muscle relaxers. He put muscle relaxers in my water. I mean, that's what Deontay Wilder said one day. And then he said that, you know, Tyson Fury, that rigged the gloves. And then, you know, the what's his name didn't train him right. Mark Breland didn't train him right. He didn't train him to his peak. And then he sort of implied that Mark Breland even bet against him. Listen, Mark had his back all throughout this. He was dealing with a fighter that didn't want to commit himself. And when you've got a fighter that doesn't want to commit himself and he's the star, he thinks he's the star and he's the heir apparent to, you know, big money, you sort of just got, you just got to shut up and go along with the ride. You do, because had Mark made a big stink 4 or 5 or maybe 10 fights ago, maybe step it up as far as Deontay Wilder's competition was concerned, because he was fighting guys like Hector Martinez and Pedro Fernandez and Scott Cuddy and guys like that. I mean, he fought, he was he 42-1 or 42 and somewhere like, yeah, in the one draw, but it's like 35 guys that, you know, couldn't spell fight if you gave them the letters. Couldn't box worth a lick. Bottom line is, he fought a lot of limited guys. I don't want to use that one bum word, but he fought a lot of limited guys. When he finally stepped up to world-class level, he met Tyson Fury. Not only was Tyson better, he was bigger. Bigger and better is what matters, no doubt about that. Of course, that's going to go down eventually, I guess in 2022. Will it end up in the Saudi Arabia? I think the same people will bid about the same amount of money. But provided both these guys get through these fights with wins. Of course, Tyson Fury has to beat Deontay Wilder, and Anthony Joshua has to beat Oleg Usyk, which I think he's pretty good cinch to do that. I think that Anthony Joshua's got a bad chin, but I don't think he'll put that chin out there anymore. Of course, Joshua learning how to fight with the distance. In fact, the perfect trainer for Joshua, if he were still alive, would be the gold father, Emmanuel Stewart, because Emmanuel taught, you know, Vitaly Klitschko how to fight from a distance, how to fight big and strong and this and that, showed him how to box as well as Vitaly Klitschko. In other words, he could teach these big guys who have maybe a suspect chin, because, you know, big guys, you're getting hit awfully hard. Heavyweights hit hard. So the idea is not to get hit, not to see whether you can take a punch or not. But the Klitschko's, Vitaly took a good punch. Vladimir, not so much. Vladimir got knocked out a couple times. Corey Sanders knocked out Vladimir. Remember, Corey Sanders was a bit of a South African guy, but I think he was a garbage man in South Africa. I think he was a refuge worker. But the bottom line is, Corey knocked him out. I think Lehman Brewster put him to sleep, didn't he? And Lehman Brewster put him to sleep as well. Bottom line is, at the end of the day, Vladimir Klitschko ended up becoming the one of the world, great world heavyweight champions as far as statistics are concerned, mainly because of the gold father, Emmanuel Stewart. Everybody Emmanuel touched, he turned to gold just about. That's why I call him the gold father. I always call him the gold father. I take it back. I stole that name from Ben Green. Ben Green used to write a boxing column for the Horse Racing Digest or something like that. The Horse Racing Digest. And he, you know, he was like an exclusive column. Ben Green was a tour of it. They call him Ben $Green. Why? Because you had to get money to pay into, get into his column. Of course, Emmanuel gave Ben $Green a lot of money. In fact, we were in Arizona for a WBC light heavyweight title fight between, God, who am I trying to think of? Anyway, Tony Willis and I can't remember the other guy who'll come to me in a second. Anyway, Tony Willis was found with the cocaine. Remember I told you about that? We went into the dressing room. The guy had just gotten beat. And he's sitting there, what's going on, this and that? And Emmanuel Stewart says to me, look the other way. I said, why look the other way? He goes, this guy's not a good guy. What are you telling me he's not a good guy? Took a bunch of cocaine out of his sock. Had a bunch of coke in his sock. Didn't want to leave it in his locker now. Didn't want to leave that coke in his locker, much like Akeem Antafashi. He lost in a fight to Robert Kroga, I guess, back about 1995. Get this. He put the coke in his cup. He had the cocaine, you know, in his intimate areas where that's going on. I kid you not. That's what he did. He put it in there. Of course, when they cut his cup off, they took his cup off when he left the ring unconscious and took him to the hospital, they found the cocaine in his cup. Bottom line is, that's a true story. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. I'll touch on MMA after the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, the Sunday edition, 11 a.m. Pacific time, for 2 hours right on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio Channel 217. Of course, live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USC channel. And next week, I'm going to announce a new network. Bottom line is, this is Ring Talk, but you know that.
that he had a certain pride in his ability
to take a punch,
both as a banger and a boxer. And he invariably would choose to fight the best opponents in their style, almost as a challenge to beat them. So he'd go toe-to-toe with Joe Frazier, and he'd box with Jimmy Ellis. Maybe he couldn't impose his will on them by trying to neutralize their style, but he always put on a good show.
Larry Merchant on Jerry Quarry. Jerry Quarry, of course, I was watching a film yesterday, Jerry Quarry and Joe Frazier hooking up in 1974. Jerry Quarry and I, we spent some time together in L.A. Of course, he was an L.A. resident for the most part there in Southern California. And at the L.A. Forum, he used to attend fight cards at the L.A. Forum, whether I was doing the TV or not. You know, Jerry was always there. In fact, Jerry did some of the TV in Southern California. He was a great analyst, no doubt about that. And one night, I guess he's getting ready to fight, and I think he last fought like in 1996 against a guy named Ron Crowder or something like that. I remember the name from in Denver. It was an illegally non-sanctioned fight. It was like a black market type of fight. It was illegal. Anyway, so they had this fight, and before he had this fight, we're at the LA Forum when the Forum Club, and this is famous. Forum Club is famous for beautiful women and cocktails. I mean, that's all it's about. Beautiful women and cocktails as far as the boxing events were concerned. So Jerry's in there, and I see Jerry in there, and I say, hey, Jerry, what's up, blah, blah, blah. So I get rolling the tape recorder. So you're rolling the tape recorder, and Jerry and I were having a conversation, and you can hear the ice cubes clicking around in his glass, sort of like Richard Nixon back in the day when he was on those Watergate tapes. But you hear the ice cubes clicking around in the glass. And then I asked Jerry, have you been drinking? No, I haven't had a drink in like 6 months. I said, it's funny, you have the aroma of an alcoholic beverage on your breath. And he said, I denied it. But the bottom line is he would go on and fight a guy in Denver, and the guy would almost destroy him. It would be like, imagine this. The fight was such a travesty that it would be like one man coming out with a club and beating on the other man for several rounds, and the other man not being able to defend himself. That's how bad that fight was, I kid you not. Sort of like an MMA fight. Anyway, speaking of MMA, the UFC has a new interim champion. His name is Ciryl Gane, coming to us from France. I think he's like 14-0 now with 10 knockouts, I believe. He took out Derek Lewis last night. Derek Lewis, one of the trial horses of the heavyweight division in the UFC. Of course, Lewis supposedly made $500,000 guaranteed, and his up on this one is according to Cuddy. Cuddy says he always gets according to Cuddy and Dana. No, I'm just kidding. Cuddy always quits Dana on this one. But Dana says, they got a cut of the pay-per-view. They get a, yeah, but what happened to the pay-per-view doesn't do anything? They still don't get a cut of nothing. You can't get a cut of nothing. Anyway, bottom line is Ciryl Gane just destroyed Derek Lewis last night. And of course, he is the interim heavyweight title holder of the UFC. And I've said this before that the UFC is bigger than the fighter, and it shouldn't be that way. It should be the fighter should be. I mean, the heavyweight champion of the world is Francis Ngannou. He's a monster. Of course, this guy last night probably has a decent chance of beating him. I never thought anybody could beat Ngannou as far as boxing is concerned. But, this, you know, I mean, different styles, different types of fighters, and that's what happens in the world of mixed martial arts. Is that, you know, you get a jiu-jitsu guy one time, you get a wrestler next time, you get a boxer next time. Wow, kickboxing, you never know what's going on. But the bottom is, Gane brought his entire skill set to the game last night, and Derek Lewis, He tried vainly, but the fight was stopped at 4-11. Of course, a TKO at 4-11 into round number three. It was a one-sided fight. A guy that continues to win, Jose Aldo. Call him Scarface, but he was the UFC featherweight champion. It's 145 pounds. And he was doing all kinds of tricks to make weight at 145, okay? That's when he fought Conor McGregor. And, like, Conor lit him up in the boom, blink of an eye. It was all over, okay? But that was at 145. Now he's fighting at 135, wink, wink, and he's not using any performance-enhancing drugs, wink, wink, but he's fighting in Texas, wink, wink. Why am I saying Texas? I remember Texas didn't want to train one boxer, didn't want to test one boxer one time because, get this, for drugs, because they couldn't find a cup. That was the exact quote from the Texas State Athletic Commission. We couldn't find a cup. I kid you not. Anyway, Jose Aldo beat Pedro Munhoz last night, unanimous night across the board at 135. I take that back. They weighed in at 136 pounds, 1 pound over the limit. When it's a non-title fight in the UFC, they give him a pound. So it was Jose Aldo over Pedro Munhoz, unanimous night, 30-27. Across the board, meaning 3 rounds to zip. Outside of that, Tisa Torres won a women's bout. That was a strawweight over Angela Hill. That was a unanimous nod. I'm looking at the rest of the card. There are no big names. There are no names on the card. So, and, you know, Dana White's going to come out. He's trying to make new names. I mean, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it. Ciryl Gane can fight. He's a star in the making. I mean, I think he is. I think him and Francis Ngannou will make for a good fight if this happens. But I got to tell you that the fact that that Dana would go to such, I mean, you're the heavyweight champion of the world. And this clown, this punk ass guy that used to run a gym in East Boston that the mafia ran out of town, had Whitey Bulger not ran Dana White out of Boston, guess what? There probably wouldn't be a UFC, or if there'd be a UFC, it wouldn't involve Dana White. It just wouldn't, okay? The Fertitta brothers might have got somebody else. But I'm telling you, at the end of the day, that's what got Dana to Las Vegas. Whitey Bulger, look him up. He was a famed mobster, but Whitey Bulger was running the game in Boston as far as the mafia was concerned, the Irish mob. So he sent some guys down to Dana White's gym. Dana White was running this. He was like a four-round type of guy. In other words, he supplied opponents. Dana didn't supply stars. Dana supplied opponents, and it was like a fitness gym, okay? But it was opponents is what he was basically. That was his forte. So he's not getting any real stars out of this. He's not making a whole lot of money. So Whitey Bulger's people come and say, guess what? You got to give us $2,500 a week. And Dana says to him, like, I couldn't give you $25 a week. I don't make any money here, man. I'm broke. I'm going in the hole. Bottom line was they didn't believe it. And they leaned on Dana to the point where he left town. He got this left town. I mean, the mafia scared him out of town. He went to Las Vegas. He got hooked up with the Fertitta brothers. Of course, Lorenzo and Frank Fertitta, they own the Palace and Station casinos. Now, how did they get that money? It originally came from Texas. They got their money originally with their grandfather was when in illegal card clubs that took place with Benny Binion and those people down there. Benny Binion, another big casino owner down there, a late casino owner down there in Las Vegas. But this is where these guys all got their money. Big money. They started out in Dallas, Texas, in that area in Texas with illegal card clubs. And of course, they went legit to Las Vegas, but the Fertitta brothers sold the UFC along with Dana White because Dana White gets 10% of that. I think Dana White owns 10%. The Dubai government owns 13%, and the Fertitta brothers own the rest. Anyway, they sold it for $4.2 billion a while back, a couple of years ago. So $4.2 billion, according to Cuddy, and Cuddy's a mathematician, that's $4,200 million. Holy cow, that's a lot of money, man. $4,200 million. Think about that. That's what the UFC was. Now, is it worth it? I don't think so. Of course, they're going around the planet. They're expanding here. They're expanding there. And more power to them. But, of course, I don't agree with the process. I don't. I think if you don't want to take a fight, you should have an option not to take a fight. You don't take a fight for Dana, Dana puts you on a blacklist. You've got to fight hurt sometimes because the show must go on. Well, guess what? The show doesn't always have to go on, especially if it's going to hurt your career. I mean, if you're injured to the point where you think you're going to lose or it's going to have a detrimental effect on you in this fight, in your performance, you don't need the fight, whether what Dana says or whatever, okay? But if Dana says you got to fight, you got to fight. You don't fight, you get screwed. Of course, then Dana will pull you in the contract issues like we did with Chris Cyborg Santos, the lady phenom, of course, the one that got knocked out by Amanda Nunes. Speaking of Amanda Nunes, she ain't happy with her UFC contract either. But anyway, Chris Cyborg Santos, she had one fight left in her contract with the UFC. So the UFC said, fight this girl. I can't remember what the girl's name was last year. Anyway, she fought the one girl. And then right after the fight was over with, the UFC, instead of renegotiating with her, they cut her. I mean, I kid you not. This is Dana White. Dana's the worst. I mean, as far as all-time human beings, you know, Keith Olbermann used to do a thing on MSNBC every night on his countdown show. The worst person in America, or the worst person in the world. Man, every day it should be Dana White, the worst person in combat sports. He's oblivious to, I mean, doesn't seem like the athletic commissions or anybody like that is willing to step in and tell him, hey man, you know, you're doing wrong. I mean, look at some of these UFC fights when you see these guys getting the spit kicked out of them. And when I say spit on this radio show, it's because we're censored and I can't say the H. But when I say spit on the show, you know what I'm talking about, spit with an H. But when they're getting the spit kicked out of them, round after round, like Brian Ortega did when his career was destroyed to a great extent, as far as his physical and maybe mental well-being. I mean, to take beatings, elbows, chokes, kicks, that kind of good stuff, when you're unable to fight back, the fight should be stopped. But the UFC never stops any fight. Yeah, they don't. I mean, the corners don't stop fights. The trainers and the corners don't stop the fights. The doctor doesn't stop the fight. And the referee doesn't stop the fight. So the fighter has been failed by the three people that are enlisted to protect him. The trainer, the corner, the doctor, and the referee. And they're all like, you know, reading the paper. Like, hey, what's on the news? Well, I'm reading the newspaper or something like that. No. This guy's on and on. But the bottom line is the UFC, I think, needs some type of reform. And, of course, that lawsuit, that class action lawsuit brought by Kung Lee and King Kyle Kingsbury, people like that, former UFC fighters, addresses the entire UFC roster as I speak as well. It's a class action lawsuit, meaning, you know, everybody gets to join, everybody gets to celebrate the benefits of this, the rewards. And I think it'll be somewhere in the billions of dollars. Mark my words. I think Dana White and his boys will talk about, Zuffa Sports down there in Las Vegas. That's the company. Of course, now this new company bought Zuffa Sports. So Zuffa Sports is technically owned by somebody else. But the bottom line is $4,200 million change hands. That's a lot of money. And at the end of the day, the fighters only getting 10 to 12% of that. Think about that. No, as I said, no way, no hustler in the entire world can get away with doing that as far as working girls on the street. So why can Dana White get away with it? Because he has a TV contract. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look into the world of box and MMA. Of course, we've got the text line going. I'll open up that text line in just a minute. But it's 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613 if you want to sneak something in. But looking at the rest of the UFC schedule, there is not one name. Maybe Brian Barbosa, and Kelvin Gastelum as far as the entire UFC schedule is concerned for the rest of the year. Those are the only two names coming up here. And maybe Volkanovski and Brian Ortega. Of course, Volkanovski being the current world featherweight champion. And Brian Ortega, the aforementioned Brian Ortega, is a guy, of course, they put in with Max Holloway 2 years ago. And they let him. I was screaming at the TV set. When you see somebody getting destroyed, I mean destroyed, not beaten. So you can get beaten. Once you're beaten, the fight stops. Fight should be over with, but not in Dana's world. You get beaten, you get beaten, you get beaten, you get beaten some more. I mean, if these fighters were drums, if they were drums, you know, like Congo drums or drums that you hit, they would have broken skins. The skins would be broken because they've been worked too hard. But yet these guys do it and do it and do it again. Of course, no compassion for the fighter whatsoever. Anyway, Brian Ortega going to try for the second time for the World Featherweight Championship, September 25th at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Let's go to a break a little bit early. You are tuned to the longest-running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. After the break, I'll talk about the situation in Las Vegas, COVID, all that kind of good stuff. Get vaccinated! You are tuned to Ring Talk.
And all these fighters that are, you know, they share in the revenue. They do share in the revenue. They have they have the upside in the pay-per-view, you know?
I'm going to like you. I'm going to hang you, but I'm going to like you.
What I'm talking about. It's very easy. It's on to each. You got to keep your monster on a leash.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Darkest of night, with the moon shining bright. There's a set going strong, a lot of things going on. The man of the hour has an air of great power. The dudes have envied him for so long. Oh, super fat.
My mother telling me that it's not bragging, son, when you're telling the truth. I found out she stole that line from Muhammad Ali. My mother was a plagiarist. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look in the world of boxing MMA, the Sunday edition, of course, to come to you live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, and a number of other platforms. Bottom line is, there was 1,000 people Friday night in Sacramento, California, according to Jim Jenkins, a former Sacramento Bee columnist. He was a great guy back in the day when, you know, John Chargan ran Sacramento. I'm talking about the promoter, that the Hall of Fame promoter that died a couple years ago. Of course, Tony Lopez, Sal Lopez, Pete Ranzani. I can go on and on, man. Sacramento was rocking and rolling, of course, with, and Willie Joran won the WBC 122 pound title for a minute. So the bottom line is, and Loretto Garza, the WBA 140 pound title, who I thought I could have beat. I thought he left the Golden Gloves because of me. But the bottom line is, that's another story for another day. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. Of course, the 21st Errol Spence and Manny Pacquiao. Gotta like Earl Spence in that one. Hopefully Manny Pacquiao can pull off the upset, but it don't look good. Of course, the following Saturday, the 28th, it'll be on Showtime. David Benavidez, the undefeated lad, former WBC super middleweight champion, taking on a guy whose name, Jose Uzakantai. Put it to you like that. But the bottom line is, Uzakantai is a tough guy, but David Benavidez should beat him. And of course, they're talking about wanting to fight one of the Durrell brothers after this. Maybe an interim fight with Andre or Anthony Durrell. Think about this. The Durrell brothers were products of the 2004 Olympics. Okay? That means they've been a pro 17 years, somewhere around 17 years. One of them got hurt in the ring, sort of like injured, somewhat permanently, but evidently they're both back in action. One's coming off a getting stopped the fight before and a draw and that kind kind of good stuff. So it's not, things are not good for the Durrell brothers, but yeah, one of them beat a journeyman this past Friday night. So, oh, all of a sudden, you know, Andre Durrell's back. Anthony Durrell's back. Listen. Both of the Durrell brothers need to retire. 17 years past your amateur status, and you haven't made it yet. Listen, I know Flint, Michigan is not a place you want to go back to, but go back to Flint. I'm just the way it is. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, don't forget the WBC's got their interactive website at WBCboxing.com. Of course, the WBC hooked up with the Texas governor this week. Of course, Governor Abbott, Greg Abbott. I don't know what that went on with that, but you heard Mauricio earlier in the show talking about vaccinations. And of course, I announced that WBC officials will all be vaccinated now or have to prove their vaccination status when they show up for events. As well as y'all all should. As far as going into bars and restaurants, this and that, you want to card me? My card's for real. Is your card? That's what's sort of scary. People getting phony cards and that kind of good stuff. Who knows? In the world of COVID, all can we do is hold our breath and hope we can make it to the next day. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look into the world of boxing and mixed martial arts. My name is Pedro Fernandez. It's been my pleasure to entertain you for the last couple of hours. Of course, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network. I can go on and on, Cable Radio Network, SportsByline.com. But the bottom line is, I thank you so much for spending some time with me. There's a million things you can be doing right now, but the fact you're tuned to the Sports Byline Broadcast Network and Ring Talk Live Worldwide, myself and I, Pedro Fernandez, thank you from the bottom of my heart. Until next week, respect others.